Welcome to the Help Me Understand podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Dillon, a school designer focused on innovating the what, how, and where we learn. This podcast is designed to unearth and share ideas and practice the power of positive conversation. Thanks for joining us. And if you like what you hear, share the podcast with friends, as well as rate and review, as this helps more people find this great podcast and others. Well, here we are back for day two of the TED conference. Little recap. It's probably worth mentioning that there's a bit of an homage to these late night dispatches to our friends at NPR Music, right? Who have for many years done these late night dispatches following South by Southwest. So they will run up and down 6th Street, go in churches, go in bars, listen to music all day, and then step away at a very late hour to talk about what they heard, what they thought, what they learned. And I thought we'd just do the same thing for TED. So Chris and I are back together after we had to miss each other a little bit this evening because we had table talk dinners, which mean we had to split up. Chris went to something on Wonder. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I went to something on health and wellness. So, Chris, how was your evening?
Let's just talk about the fact that there were 21 talks today, 21 TED Talks. Like, imagine what that's like for your brain to be able to process information from 21 different TED videos.
That's a lot. Someone at some point in time said there were 106 or 116 for the week. That's a lot.
I can't even process the 21 from today.
I know. But dinner. Yeah, we had dinner. Both of us split up. Where was your dinner?
No idea. Some sort of convention center next to the convention center. There's multiple convention centers.
I went to the Vancouver Club. It was quite bougie.
That is fancy. I think it's called the Ocean View Suites.
Oh, there you go.
The Pan Pacific Hotel.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, we both did that, but I was kind of like done at 7:15 tonight or whatever, but I'm glad I went. I met some interesting people. Did you meet interesting people as well?
Yeah. Amazing table. There were like 7 of us at the table. I'm sure that was perfectly orchestrated, as all things are at the TED.
I think we've now realized that like nothing is unscripted at TED.
Correct.
It happens.
Which brings about some questions around intentionality. Like, are we intentional enough with the experiences that we are providing those that are in our circle of care, whether it be, you know, our students that we work with, our staff that we work with, our colleagues, you know, are we intentional enough around curating what those experiences are? But that's a whole separate podcast.
I know, but so true. I think I've learned a little bit of lesson here. Like, they don't leave anything to chance.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had 3 questions at the dinner. The dinner was called The Pursuit of Wonder. And I, you know, we had the opportunity to choose different talks. And I intentionally chose Wonder as being something I was interested in just knowing more about. Yeah. So there were 3 questions. 1, where did you find Wonder in the pandemic? What would your 7-year-old self think is the coolest thing about your life today? And then, is there still a place for Wonder today in a world where information is so
So, like, really light conversation.
Right, yeah. It was just, you know, super easy. Yeah.
Beet salad.
Fish.
Light conversation.
Nailed it. That was it. But it was really good. Like, the table was fantastic. You know, it was a good mixture of, you know, immigrants to the United States, people with dual citizenship, I think I was the only American there at my table. Just a truly international. I was also the only white male at the table, which was really kind of refreshing to be in a table.
It is really hard to explain how diverse.
Correct.
In thinking, culture, race, class. Well, maybe not class.
I think we're at the lower end of the class spectrum.
But there, I mean, the diversity of people here, of people that you wouldn't experience normal, is pretty exceptional.
I would wholeheartedly agree. I think the person who sat immediately to my right, Susan, was an organizer of TEDx Sydney, and lives in Sydney full time. That is her. That is where she resides.
Yeah.
And just again recognizing the fact that they're like, all right, so you're just going to go 14 hours on a plane to come to TED.
Right. Because that's what you do.
Because that's what you do.
I know. It's pretty amazing. So we had those tonight, but then I guess we're going backwards tonight. That's fine.
Apparently we are.
Yeah. You talked about Wonder. I talked about health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I met the founder of 23andMe. Mm-hmm. She was fabulous. And what I love about TED is that, like, you can sit down and have a conversation with someone, and then, like, it takes 15, 20 minutes to realize, like, oh.
you're kind of a big deal.
Right.
You have many leather-bound books, and your apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Right. And so...
You made a whole wheel of cheese?
Yeah, at some point in time, she goes, I was at a birthday party with General McRaven, and it wasn't like she was... Yeah, it was just part of life, right? Like, it was a thing. So, anyway... before that, though, we had a really amazing session. It was session 4.
Right. The session focused on audacity.
Yeah. It was 8 amazing humans that it was. You know what I told Ellie? I told Ellie when I talked to my oldest, right? Like, I just watched 8 global heroes that were all women. Was that an overstatement?
No, probably an understatement. You need to use more words.
Right. I know. They were, every story was like, we're solving this global problem. Mm-hmm. And it was this amazing woman at the helm.
Yeah.
Who stood out for you?
Oh my God. Right. I mean, how many times did I stand up and give standing ovations? I mean, I feel like just about every talk, at the end of it, I was like, oh my God. And I stood up and gave applause, much like the other thousands of people that are here. And I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be Amanda Renteria, who's the CEO of Code for America.
I know. I'm there too.
I really liked the way that she's approaching solving sort of the election issues, or the lack of attention and focus in that area.
Yeah, Amanda really talked to Code for America, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Really talking about how do we get people the services they deserve in a way that is humane. Thought that was pretty amazing. I thought there were 2 themes that caught my attention this afternoon, this evening, were about really solving for justice and solving for climate. Because we had someone talk about permafrost.
Right.
Which...
That was kind of shocking. Like the sheer amount of carbon emissions from permafrost thawing due to climate change.
Yeah.
And the fact that like no one company is owning or even claiming the work or the sort of the thawing of the permafrost and its impact on our climate.
Yeah, everything above the Arctic Circle, basically.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if nobody claims it, then we can all sort of look away.
Yeah.
And say, well, it's certainly not me. It's not my problem. And that is categorically not true.
But we had people that were talking about like solving mental health crisis in Central America. And then someone that was doing microfinance in Western Africa, right? Like it was amazing the scope and density and impact people were having.
Yeah. It makes you, I guess at the end of the day, I think the thing that I'll go home with, and I know we're only on day 2, and there's a lot more here.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that I'll go home with is I can't unknow this. I can no longer simply use the metrics of the immediacy of the things that are around me and say that this is the sphere of influence that I have. What we have clearly seen by these 8 women is that they're choosing to influence a society, a region, or the world. And that is a choice that they've chosen to make.
I know. It does feel like sometimes the impact that we or others make feels overshadowed by the work that happens here.
Yeah.
I don't think it should, because all of those people would love the work that people are doing, right? Yeah. Like, I've noticed that. Like, mm-hmm. everyone here is so excited, so joyful about the work that everyone is doing.
Yeah.
They see it as impactful. They see it as purposeful. They see it as, yeah. So I think that's awesome. You also, this afternoon, rode a bike?
I did. Yeah, we did. So there are sessions called Discovery Sessions.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, we're presented with a number of different options, and we had a chance to choose what we wanted to do during that time. And it truly was kind of wide open. Like, it could be anything. And one of the options I thought was interesting was the fact that I just needed to see Vancouver. Like,
yeah.
When am I ever going to get to this part of the world? And I felt it was important to get out and sort of experience the nature that is the Pacific Northwest. So,
and by the way, it has been exceptionally beautiful the last couple of days.
Right.
I mean, I know it's been a little chilly compared to home, but like, the sun's been out.
Yep.
And the mountains, the snow, the bay, it's really beautiful here.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So getting the chance to do the bike ride. So we started here, rode a couple miles. Right next to the convention center is a park called Stanley Park. It is worth your Google. If you'll open up a new tab and Google Stanley Park, learn a little bit more about the temperate rainforest and the experience that exists here. And it was gorgeous. You know, we get to ride around it and then through it on the way back. So it was great.
Yeah, I have to say that this morning I ran through part of Stanley Park. Really beautiful way to start my day. Yep. I actually went to a thing called the Record House. I thought it was going to be more about music,
mm-hmm.
and it ended up being about connection. There was like this really amazing vibe of people. A guy by the name of Stephen DeBerry, who's an anthropologist, but also doing some work to revitalize communities. Amazing guy. And we listened to some music, but mostly we talked about how we were closer together than we were further apart as humanity. And it was just a cool vibe. And I loved hearing about what he has invented in East Palo Alto called the Record House.
Hmm.
And it's a project that he's doing to revitalize that area. But it was one of those moments where you felt like you were in the place where you were supposed to be in the moment. And everyone felt like they were connected, welcoming. I mean, we had people from all over the place that were there and telling stories that were pretty amazing. So, they're just really cool opportunities here to have those moments like that. Earlier in the day, I missed a session. I have to admit, I did not get to session 3.
Yeah, session 3 was on intelligence.
Maybe I intelligently missed it, or maybe I intelligently didn't miss it.
It was pretty amazing. I'm going to be honest.
I know.
Obviously, a bulk of it focused around artificial intelligence and the way that sort of the manufactured world, if you will, is going to impact or will impact and be a part of the natural world. But the two talks that really stood out to me, one was on... from a meditation advocate named Dan Harris. If you were around, I think it was like early 2000s, Dan Harris worked for ABC News and sort of famously or virally, if you will, had a panic attack on national television.
Oh.
And through this whole process, he talked about his story of moving from, where he was to where he is today.
Okay.
And kind of the things that I kind of took away from his talk in regards to meditation is that, you know, love is a skill, and it's a skill you can train.
Wow.
And that was amazing.
Love as a verb has always stuck out to me, but I like love as a skill.
That's right.
That. Yeah, that's good.
And he really talked about meditation and how, you know, how it was sort of like an outside of him. It was, you know, something he judged. But then eventually he became part of who he was and improved his life. So,
you know, we met our friend Nick here, who we had breakfast with today.
Yep.
also spoke to the power of meditation.
Yep.
It's kind of got me thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, should I be exploring that work?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What else stuck out from session three?
My other personal favorite was Jeanette Winterson. She's a writer.
I saw her book in the bookstore.
Yes. It is, she was phenomenal. So when her talk comes out, like, you have to watch it. What was really interesting is that part of her talk focused on what if, you know, our concept about the afterlife. So heaven or whatever exists for our soul, you know, after our body dies,
yeah,
you know, if you will. She kind of drew a parallel to that concept and the concept of AR, the metaverse, and all those things that exist that we're making now.
It's too tired for me to unpack that right now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But just that there's something for our, the other version of us, whatever that is, outside of our human body, that there's a human and a non-human entity that exists, and that there's an even a, potentially an AI angel.
Cool.
It was so cool.
Okay, that's cool. What was her name?
Jeanette Winterson. She's a writer.
All right. Yeah.
I love that. And
I know.
She was phenomenal. And one of her last things she said before she signed off was, we change the story because we are the story. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. That's
that was like,
what, that's that whole quote about like the built environment. We impact the built environment. The built environment then impacts us.
Yes.
Like, I'm still working on that.
Yep.
Let me run before we go. Like, let me run back to session four. Duckworth happened.
Amazing. Yeah, follow him on Spotify.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Like, the music pieces have been really good, and I think they get overlooked in the TED conference a little bit.
Yep.
But I still have a feeling that like a year from now we'll both be like, "Oh, look, Duckworth on the Grammys," right? As a piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
That was part of session four, and then I have to go back. Like, the person, and maybe you have this person's name that was in charge of like refugees, that like she, like her organization helped refugees settle and like did the legal pieces.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And she was like one of the first speakers in session four.
Yes.
I just kept thinking, like, if I met her in court, she would squash me.
Yes. Becca Heller.
Yeah, there you go. Becca Heller.
Yep.
And
of course she lives in Brooklyn. So like she's already,
yeah,
she's legit.
Yeah.
Because she's from Brooklyn.
Right. Just as like, now every yuppie in New York is. Right? I don't know. But anyway, Becca Heller, like, impressive, incredible. But, like, it was just the kickoff that whole session.
Yeah. She is the co-founder of the International Refugee Assistance Project, or IRAP.
Yeah. And then I wrote down some crazy stuff. There was a woman who was helping with trauma-informed practices in Guatemala. And she said that 8% of the population lived in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. Mm-hmm. 33% of all the murders in the world.
Yep.
And she was making a difference. I was really impressed by that piece as well. That stuck out to me.
Yeah, it goes back to that concept of hurt people hurt people.
Ooh.
And that statement has always struck out to me. It stuck out to me.
Yep.
And she really brought that to life of like, when people experience trauma, they're more likely to exhibit or cause trauma or harm onto others.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Becca Heller also said something about, and this really got me, was like, on Thursday when TED is over, you get to pack up your hotel room and go home. How many people in the world today do not get to pack up and go home? And I was like, whoa. Right. And so anyway, the morning started.
Yeah. Kind of on uneven ground. Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the first session this morning was on the topic of capitalism.
Capitalism. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I walked in there going, all right, I'm ready, because I have no idea what this is going to be about.
Right. But it's okay to like be underwhelmed a little bit, right? Like, we've seen so much good, and it's not that speakers were bad, but there was a gentleman who talked about universal, not universal income,
right?
But universal services.
Correct. Universal basic services. His name is Aaron Bastani.
Yeah.
And he's one of those that, like, I want to go back to his talk. I want to talk to him more because I was truly, like, I've always been a person who believes in the fact that there is inequity in the world. And if we could, in some way, create a more level playing field centering around universal basic income. And then, of course, he brought about the fact that, like, a really good and effective universal basic income is not affordable.
Right.
But if you have an affordable universal basic income, then it's not effective. You can't have.
Yeah, that stuck out to me as well. I heard him say that as well.
Right.
But he wanted services in four areas, right?
Transportation.
Yep.
Housing.
Yep.
Education.
Yep.
And healthcare.
Yeah. It says that all of those things should be things that people should just have.
Correct.
And that's what good democracies do. And that is not antithetic to capitalism.
Correct.
Right. That was his thinking, even though he's written some book that has communism in the title.
Yeah. I'm obviously going to go Google that and figure out what.
Right. I mean, certainly looking to be provocative more than anything else. But I think he makes an argument that says that and I got a chance to talk to him. Like, that's what's cool. Like, we're here at a conference and you walk up, you know, we talked about the photographer Platon.
Amazing.
And I talked to him today. Just really? Like walked up. Yeah. Rolled up. And he was talking about whether it was his job to show the truth about people or to capture the moment. And I was like, whoa. And then talked to the guy about universal basic services.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's beautiful. You get to just walk up and roll up on people and have a really good conversation.
Yeah, I nerded out today on Chip Gaines.
Who I kept looking for and then never saw again.
Right.
You must have, like, he was like the ghost of Chip Gaines. He rolled through.
It's fine. Like, we walked out of that first session. He was standing right in front of me, and I went, Chip? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, whoa, wait, wait, wait. Wait.
Right,
is, like, that Chip Gaines is talking to me?
Yeah, it's Magnolia Home right there.
Yes. So, yeah, my mind was blown.
No Joanna, though.
I did not see Joanna.
You think she's here?
I don't know. That's a good question.
And we shall find out. But it's been a full day.
It has been more than a full day.
That's one, two, three sessions, a bike ride, a dinner conversation. We've definitely hit our limit for the day.
Yeah. So it's 11 here, which means at home, it's 1
a.m. Yeah, we don't even talk about those things anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, day two of TED in the books. We survived. We've had... they do a good job of hydrating us and giving us coffee and food. I'm impressed by how this conference is designed. And so it's every other conference is going to be hard to compare going forward to the way TED takes care of their people.
Yeah. I don't know that there's how do you attend a different event after you've attended this?
Yeah. And so it's going to be hard. So anyway, that's the wrap up from our late night day two. And yeah, more tomorrow. And then yeah, we're halfway home. Basically, there's a little bit on Thursday, but we've made it through 2 days and lots of content. But we will be back with you tomorrow, giving you a sense of what day three looks like. Until then, we hope you have just a little sense of what the TED conference has been like. And so thanks for joining the podcast. Thanks for listening. More about this podcast and my work with schools and districts can be found at drrobertdillon.com. Until next time, slow down, notice the world, and stay curious.